This week on Vaticano, our lead feature will focus on Pope St. John Paul II and his late director of communications, Joaquin Navarro Valls, whose last book was published recently. We also hear from one of the organizers of the next International Eucharistic Congress, to be held in Quito, Ecuador, about the ongoing preparations for this defining event of the Church in Latin America. Finally, we invite you to explore with us Vatican Radio's museum, presenting more than 90 years of church broadcasting history. Vaticano starts now. Pope Francis will create 21 new cardinals in a recently announced consistory on September the 30th. 18 of these new cardinals that come from around the world are below the age of 80 and eligible to vote in a future conclave. Currently, there are 121 cardinals who would be allowed to vote. Pope Francis appointed 81 of them, which is more than two-thirds. With the newly appointed cardinals, the College of Cardinals will become even more international, as there are prelates from Europe, Asia, and Latin America. Among the new cardinals will also be prelates who hold important offices in the Roman Curia, the leadership of the Church. The recently appointed prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Archbishop Victor Manuel Fernandez from Argentina, and Archbishop Claudio Guggerotti, prefect of the Dicastery for the Oriental Churches, who's from Italy, and U.S.-born Archbishop Robert Francis Priebus, who's heading the Dicastery for Bishops. Also, the current Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Pier Battista Pizzaballa, will also be appointed. The last consistory to create new cardinals took place 1 year ago, on August the 27th, 2022. Pope Francis has chosen 364 voting members for the next synod in October. For the first time, religious and lay people will have voting powers alongside bishops. The total assembly will be made up of over 400 people. The Holy Father asked for 5 consecrated women and 5 consecrated men to be nominated to the synod. The Pope also selected 70 faithful, who are not bishops, from a list of 150 proposed by the continental bodies.
We can see that among the president delegates that have a role to assist the president, who is the Pope. This time, for the first time, we will have also non-bishops, so 2 women. Because as we see, this synod is a synod of bishops, but connected to a process that has involved and will continue to involve all the people of God.
Cardinal Marc Ouellet, Cardinal Luis Ladaria Ferrer, and Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga are among the cardinals selected by the Pope to attend the Synod Assembly. The former prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, German Cardinal Gerhard Ludwig Müller, is also on the Pope's list, as is Chicago's Archbishop Cardinal Blaise Supich. In all, Francis personally selected 120 delegates. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has elected Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York, among others, to participate in the Synod. More than 50 women will also be participating as voting members in the Synod Assembly, scheduled for October the 4th through the 29th.
We do not work like a parliament. That's not this process of the Synod does not function in that way. We speak so much about faithfulness to the Holy Spirit. We speak about communion. And we are at the service of communion.
For the first time, lay people will not only participate in the Synod of Bishops Assembly, but will also be full members, with the ability to vote on a final document at the end of the process in October of 2024.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Update, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. The Vatican announced the creation of a commission to research and catalog the stories of Christian martyrs from the third millennium. In a letter published, Pope Francis said he has established the commission of new martyrs, witnesses of the faith, within the dicastery for the causes of the saints. The commission's task will be to create an archive of the lives of Christian martyrs, both Catholic and non-Catholic, killed in the last quarter century. Pope Francis also noted that he is not modifying canon law on the formal recognition of martyrdom in the Catholic Church, but wants the testimonies of those killed for being Christian to stand side by side with the martyrs officially recognized by the Church. Pope Francis met with former U.S. President Bill Clinton in a private audience at the Casa Santa Marta papal residence. The former president's delegation included several prominent Americans, including Alex Soros of the Open Society Foundations. In an email, the Holy See Press Office described the gathering as a private audience with the delegation. It provided photos, but no other information about what was discussed. The Holy Father renewed his call for dialogue in the Holy Land and for peace and reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians. Pope Francis was responding to recent tensions in the West Bank. The Israeli army had carried out a military operation there to confiscate and destroy weapons in a refugee camp. In reaction to the Israeli operation, 7 people were injured, 3 seriously, in a car ramming attack in Tel Aviv. The Vatican released Pope Francis's 4-day schedule for the first ever papal visit to Mongolia in September, where the pontiff will meet with government leaders, engage in interreligious dialogue, and celebrate Mass for the country's small Catholic population. Pope Francis's motto for the trip is "Hoping Together." The pontiff will arrive in Ulaanbaatar, the nation's capital, on the morning of Friday, September 1st. He will return to Rome on September the 4th. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Update. Jen Copestake for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. The Pope is lucid.
Extraordinariamente sereno.
He's extraordinarily serene.
Con la logica relativa difficoltà di
with the logical relative difficulty of breathing.
Se ci sono altri aggiornamenti,
if there are other updates, we'll be in contact. Anyway, as you know, the press office will always remain open. Thanks. These were the words Joaquin Navarro-Valls pronounced with emotion, announcing the difficult health conditions of Pope St. John Paul II in the final days of his life. 6 years have now passed since the death of Navarro-Valls. On July the 5th, 2017, a man who will always be remembered as the spokesperson of a saint passed away. He was the first director of the Holy See Press Office, which he guided for 22 years, with his great intelligence, generosity, and professionalism. He was a journalist and a doctor, a man of great faith, who for more than 22 years was at the service of John Paul II.
Personalmente, ma ovviamente è stato sempre punto di riferimento, non solo.
Even though I wasn't able to meet him personally, he was always a point of reference for me, not only because he was alongside that great person who was the Pope, but also a point of reference for modern communications. He was truly the modern spokesman in Italy in that period. I'm referring solely to Italy because I'm a journalist of political formation. I've always lived between Montecitorio and Palazzo Madama. In Italy, the role of the spokesperson in that way didn't exist. The spokesperson is a person of trust, a person who knows, also if they don't share everything, but they know and anticipate the ideas and opinions of the person they work with. The Pope knew of this necessity, and Navarro incarnated precisely the future of the modern spokesperson, long before many, at least in Italy, had developed this idea. The relationship between Navarro-Valls and Pope St. John Paul II was deep and based on mutual trust. The Pope appreciated Navarro's dedication and considered him an indispensable collaborator, as well as a trusted friend.
È grazie a Giovanni Paolo II, accolto per tempo.
John Paul II understood with a great intuition the importance of communication together with governance, because they are integrated. I made some jokes somewhere saying that I thought the Vatican was a bit behind from this point of view, but I'd certainly never say it about John Paul II. He understood it in good time, and Navarro was truly the ideal choice to develop it. He was a person who welcomed this mission, interpreted it, and in dialogue with the Pope carried it out, arriving also, as has been remembered, to the role of counselor and diplomat in some cases.
Navarro Valls was able to show the entire world the human aspect of Karol Wojtyła and his pontificate.
Lui invece ha avuto veramente una...
He really had a capacity for showing the humanity of the Pope and his holiness. Also, in this sense, there are some things that touch me and come up a lot in the book. One thing was the method of working dinners. Look, there's no other Pope that utilized so systematically lunches and dinners, continually with guests to confront so many issues of different types.
Per affrontare tanti problemi di vario genere.
In the final months of St. John Paul II's life, during his sickness, Navarro Valls, who was also a doctor, took care of communicating the health conditions of the Pope to the press, up until the day of his death.
The Holy Father, John Paul II, died this evening at 9:37 in his private apartment.
After the death of the Pope, Joaquin Navarro Valls continued to work as a media consultant and analyst. He wrote several books and continued to work in the promotion of values and the teaching of the Catholic Church through his work, up until his own death on July the 5th, 2017 in Rome. 6 years after his death, according to his will, his notes from his time as spokesperson were gathered up and published in a book titled My Years with John Paul II, Personal Notes, which was presented at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome, where he was a collaborator.
For the 22 years in which Navarro was the spokesman of the Pope, especially John Paul II, but also in the last year with Benedict XVI, he took notes of the episodes he experienced and conversations with the Pope, which were a constant. We, from the communications faculty with which he collaborated, knew about this and we offered to collaborate with him, not to publish his memoirs, but to prepare the notes for publication.
A preparare quegli appunti per la pubblicazione.
Today, his spirit lives on in the hearts of those who knew and admired him, and his legacy continues to inspire journalists and religious men and women from the entire world to follow in his footsteps, seeking truth, communicating with honesty, and seeking to unite people through the power of words. From September the 8th to the 15th, 2024, the 53rd International Eucharistic Congress will be held in Quito, Ecuador. It's an event that will also mark the 150th anniversary of Ecuador's consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. To find out the behind the scenes of an International Eucharistic Congress, we spoke with the President of the Communications Commission of Quito 2024, Father Livingston Olivares.
Today we have the pleasure of being here with Father Livingston Olivares. He is the President of the Communications Commission for the 2024 International Eucharistic Congress, which will be held in Ecuador, and today he's visiting EWTN Rome's offices. So how are you, Father? What can you tell us about this huge event?
Gracias por la bienvenida, Ari.
Thanks for the welcome, Ari. I'm happy to promote this international event that's truly a blessing for Latin America.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, also because you're going to share details about how this event is being prepared with us.
Well, since Pope Francis named Ecuador as the site of the 53rd International Eucharistic Congress, all of the commissions are working for us, as the representatives of the Pontifical Committee here in Rome that started the Congress have told us, so we're working.
Now there's less time remaining before the event, but we're working with the same intensity through the different commissions like the theological, liturgical, communications, which is the transversal axis for everything. And we've also got the financial and others that are joining little by little as this great event arrives.
Con el paso del tiempo mientras llega pues este gran evento.
So the Communications Commission is important because communication is evangelization, right?
Claro que sí. De hecho,
of course. In fact, I'll take advantage of the opportunity. Thanks for this space, also that helps us to promote this international event, which, as I was saying, is a blessing for Latin America in the midst of a situation that's a bit complicated, but where we want to live out the main objective of the Congress by way of the Eucharist, which is fecundity. So Jesus Christ is made present and he remains with us and effectively communicates, which is this transversal axis to carry out all of what we're doing, and then also what will also remain so that it may bear the necessary fruit of the Eucharist.
Effectively, Father, you mentioned that there are difficult processes in Latin America. Right now, there are nations where, for example, there are privations. The Blessed Sacrament cannot be exposed in the streets. How have you seen this reality in these countries?
Well, it's to be in solidarity also with our brother country, Nicaragua, in a very complicated situation. The Ecuadorian Episcopal Conference has also made itself heard through many writings, not only for Central America, but Latin America also, that's experiencing human mobility through migration, the consequence of bad governance. But the Church is present there to accompany these people that walk, this nation that feels accompanied also for Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, but most of all, that lives fraternity among brothers. It's there that we must be present, praying, living in solidarity through Caritas, of the different campaigns that can be carried out, but most of all, making the resurrected Christ present, much more in this time of Easter that we're living.
Mucho más en este tiempo de Pascua que lo estamos viviendo.
Precisely today, there is social unrest in many countries, and the Eucharist is there at the center. The people that are following us, that accompany us from those countries, are seeing you, Father. Would you send them a message that they might come close to the Blessed Sacrament in these moments of great desolation, of great social problems?
En estos momentos de gran desolación, de gran problema social.
Muchas veces creemos que en medio de los problemas que tenemos.
Often we think that in the midst of the problems that we have, God is not with us, or sometimes we question ourselves, no? It's to say we go before the Blessed Sacrament and we say, Lord, do you like to see me like this? Nevertheless, just as when the disciples of Emmaus felt a bit discouraged, Jesus appeared to encourage them, to accompany them, to help them to understand as well, and sometimes to shake them up a bit. It's necessary to understand the importance of the Eucharist, because it's the Lord who waits for us. He tells us in his word, come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. It's been a time of fatigue for all of the social, political, and economic unrest, the natural disasters. But there's Jesus, the Eucharist, that remains. Where there is a priest, the Eucharist is there. So I'd like to invite all of our brothers and sisters who follow us by way of the communications media, of this prestigious channel as well, that they might come close to the Eucharist, where we can encounter God in prayer. But most of all, that in the midst of this loneliness, that exodus that we might be living internally, that we might feel the accompaniment of Jesus also, that he remains with us, that he invites us to live out fraternity. But most of all, that he reminds us that we are children of God, because it is God the Father that sent his Son into the world to save it, not to condemn it, and that we, through our faith, are already saved.
Y que nosotros, por medio de nuestra fe, somos ya salvos.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
Hello, hello. It is my very great honor and privilege to announce to you that within a very few moments, the Supreme Pontiff, His Holiness Pius XI, will inaugurate the radio station of the State of the Vatican City. The electric waves will carry his august words of peace and benediction throughout all the world.
These were the words spoken by Guglielmo Marconi, the scientist credited with the invention of the radio, during the inauguration of the Pope's radio, Vatican Radio, on February the 12th, 1931. Immediately after his words, Pope Pius XI approached the microphone to deliver his radio message, addressing the faithful around the world. He did so in Latin, the universal language of the Catholic Church.
Quanto preciosiorum tesaurum gestatis, tanto diligentiorum adiperatis custodiam.
Just 2 years later, Pope Pius XI and Guglielmo Marconi inaugurated a new shortwave radio station that connected Vatican City to the Pontifical Palace in Castel Gandolfo. On this occasion, Pope Pius XI spontaneously shared a reflection that would leave a lasting impression in history.
Resta tuttavia, resta intera.
Yet, our curiosity, our desire to know, remains unbroken. How is it that the human mind sees, so to speak, sees with such a distinct viewpoint, measures with such precise measurement, what the eye cannot see and the hand cannot reach?
E che la mano non raggiunge.
I papi sono sempre stati abbastanza all'avanguardia.
The popes have always been quite forward-thinking when it comes to technology, especially regarding radio. Pius XI, who strongly desired the establishment of Vatican Radio, specifically called upon Marconi because he was, at the time, the great protagonist of international broadcasting. Marconi was responsible for producing all the equipment used around the world, including that of the BBC.
Erano prodotti da lui.
After the death of Pope Pius XI, Vatican Radio followed the conclave and the coronation of the new pontiff, Cardinal Eugenio Pacelli, who became Pope Pius XII. Pacelli gave new impetus to the radio station by establishing an office dedicated to reaching out to people during the course of World War II.
Questa iniziativa che fu voluta da Pio XII.
This initiative, which was desired by Pius XII, aimed to give Italians and later other populations around the world the possibility of getting in touch with their loved ones, especially in war-affected Italy. Considering that the war involved both military personnel and civilians worldwide, one can think of prisoners of war who were in India, the United States, or Canada. Through the nunciatures, the International Red Cross, and embassies, they could somehow communicate with their families. Thanks to this office of searching for people, which collected all the messages and then transmitted them via the Vatican network into the ether, those who had access to a radio could receive news about their loved ones. Between 1940 and 1946, over 1.2 million messages were transmitted.
These initiatives deeply marked the role of the successive popes, making them increasingly independent and influential, particularly in terms of communication.
Il grande problema dei papi.
The great problem for the popes until the 20th century was their lack of independence. The popes were often censored by the powerful authorities of this world. However, with Pius XI, something new emerged. The Pope became independent and could communicate without interference from external authorities. Thus, Vatican Radio was born, representing a significant advantage for the Pope and for every Christian. As Christians, we are all communicators, bearers of a message.
Tutti comunicatori, portatori di un messaggio.
A universal message, that of Vatican Radio, which needs to be explained and translated in order to be understood.
I papi.
The popes of all these years, of these decades, have always launched concrete appeals. Obviously, to understand them, they need to be explained. This, let's say, is the task of Vatican Radio, in explaining to those who are listening what the Pope wishes to say, also what the Christian messages wish to say in the current context, especially in those difficult contexts that unfortunately affect many parts of the world.
Today, the Vatican radio station continues to carry out its service of information in the entire world, transmitting both the voice of the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, as well as useful news items, also for the protection of Christians in those places where they are still persecuted.
I would especially like to remember Pierluigi Macali, a missionary that was kidnapped by jihadists in Mali, Africa. During his imprisonment, the only way the only hope he had was that of listening to the radio. And he says he had the fortune of being able to listen to Vatican Radio during his imprisonment. He could hear the voice of the Pope, but most of all, also feel his closeness. The appeals the Pope made for him, for his liberation. And so it was a way for him to survive, also spiritually. Then, after his liberation, he sent us a letter, thanking us for this service that we made for him. And there we understood that what we can do can actually save the lives of many Christians in many parts of the world.
Di molti cristiani in molte parti di questo mondo.